you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 44, I'd like to begin with a quick thought. Before we get into the path forward, we first have to understand that you have access into this. Nothing that I say this morning are you alienated from. There may be some things I've already spoken where you would say, well, Brett, that's fine for you, a preacher. That's fine for some of the people in here that are really serious, but that's just not for me. I don't believe, man, I have done so much. My past is so jaded. There's not a whole lot moving forward that I have a whole lot of hope in. I just got my fingers crossed I'm going to make it in the pearly gates when I leave. There is nothing that is said this morning from God's word that you are alienated from. And you are here this morning, perhaps just to hear that one sentence of truth. And may that one sentence of truth that comes from God's word in Christ Jesus begin to go ahead right now and break down the barriers that are restricting your faith to believe in the good news that Christ Jesus has for you this morning. I'm going to read Isaiah 44 because, quite frankly, we don't get to read a lot from the major prophets, do we? I'll be honest with you. There are a couple books in the Bible. I'm just not ready to preach chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Some of you that may, oh, Brent, you don't fully know and can exhaust the entire Bible? Nope, not even close, but I'm growing and learning and trying hard. Couple of books I would never attempt, not in the next probably 5 years. Isaiah's one of them. Ezekiel's another. I don't even want to talk. I'm not even going to read a verse from Ezekiel. That book is crazy. Crazy. Now, it's God-breathed, inspired. It's useful for our growth, our teaching, our learning. I'm just not ready to teach it. But by God's grace, I'm going to grow into it. There's a lot of Isaiah, just not, to be honest, Daniel, just not ready for. A lot of prophecy in these books, a lot of things that are very hard to interpret. But there's one chapter I'd like to point your attention to this morning that I'm confident I fully understand. Well, fully is a word for fools. That I am confident I know enough to teach this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's chapter 44. Now, let me give you some context. The context of this chapter is God's people had been decimated by Babylon. They had built the city of Jerusalem. There was a temple there built by Solomon. It was a famous temple, a wonderful temple, a temple that people would come from everywhere around to look upon. God's people were kind of large and in charge, and God was blessing, and they were thriving. But God's people began to look out at the other nations. Isn't that always what happens in times of plenty? We begin to look out, we begin to reflect, we begin to use human reason, logic, we begin to think through things, and we begin to lust after the ways of the secular, the ways of the neighbors, the ways of the world. And God's people began to be turned from the God who had given them all these good gifts and given them all these good things, and they begin to want what others had, and that led them into idolatry. And God does what God always does when sin enters the camp. He does something to get his people's attention. And he raises up a foreign nation of Babylon to come in and wreak utter havoc upon his people. The temple burned to the ground. Israel decimated, and his people now living in exile outside of the promise that God had given and secured for them. Now, God never took the promise away, but Israel was exiled from the promise for a time because of their sin. And some would say, God is so mean. No, God is a loving Father. God wants relationship with his people. And when God's people put something else in front of that relationship with him, God will go to whatever lengths he has to go to jar us so we can see how good things are in his bosom and leave those worthless idols that disappoint behind. We repent and we run back into the arms of our Father. There are consequences for our sin. I've told you in the past, sin will wreck you. Even you, Christian man, you, Christian woman. We play with fire thinking that we won't get burned by God's grace, but God's grace oftentimes ushers in consequences for sin so we can see the folly of our ways and run back into the arms of our Father, and that's what's happening here. God is not a cruel, vengeful old man. He is a loving, gracious Father, willing to allow his children to go out and be wayward and experience the pigsty of this world so that we can come to our senses through the power of the Holy Spirit and run back to him where he is waiting with arms open, waiting to put a robe on us and a ring on our finger, ready to kill the fattened calf and throw a party at our return. Oh, he's good. But now God's people are in exile, and God raises up Isaiah to prophesy and to tell God's people what God is doing. And here's what he says, and here's what he says to you, because some of you may be tempted to say, I've already quoted Jeremiah 29:11, and here's what I hear a lot amongst the theologians, which I aspire to be. I'm not, the practice of theology is noble. We should learn, we should grow, we should study. But there are some that would say, well, that's for God's people in exile. That's not for us today. I fully disagree, and here's why. Chapter 44 was specifically for them, but indirectly it is also for us because it is a clear picture of the heart of God towards his people. That is mirrored and regurgitated again and again and again all throughout Scripture, all throughout the New Testament. God sends his Son to save that which is lost. That's what the Bible is about. It's the gospel. It's the good news. It was for them, but it is also for us. The heart of God has always been for his people. Here's what he says. Remember these things. Remember. He starts off with remember because what God's saying here is not even new for the time, but it's always been from Genesis when Adam and Eve first fell from grace, when they first sinned themselves, separating and alienating themselves from God. God said, he gave his first messianic promise, I'm going from the seed of woman, I'm going to bring one who's going to crush the head of the serpent. God's plan has always been to save us from our sin. Remember the gospel. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. There will be times when you falter. There will be times when you become weak in your mind. There will be times when your spirit is weak to follow. Remember the gospel. Remember the heart of God towards you. It is not a new truth. It's a very old truth that's been carried forward throughout the entirety of Scripture. Some of you may feel in exile today. Some of you may feel like God's people felt when they received this promise, utterly decimated, utterly defeated. 2014 may have been the worst year your family has ever experienced. But his mercies are new this morning. Hear the word of the Lord. Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel. Now, Jacob's been dead for a long time. Remember, all throughout the Bible, God used three patriarchs to build his nation, his people. He gave a promise to Abraham that through a promised son, he was going to build a great nation in which all the nations would be blessed. And Jacob was the son of that promised Isaac who came from Abraham. Throughout the Bible, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God would say. These are three patriarchal figures in the formation of God's people. Jacob went on to have 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel. But you remember that little wrestling match that Jacob had with God? God changed his name from Jacob, which means supplanter and deceiver, to Israel. And that is the name by which all of God's people were called. So who is God speaking to here? He's speaking not to the person Jacob, but he's speaking to the corporate entity of his people. He's speaking to the nation that he created and formed and brought into existence through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That you and I have been grafted into, Romans chapter 11. I formed you. Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. There is a unique relationship between creator and creation. Creation doesn't make the rules. Creator does. Creator, the plans don't come from creation upward. The plans come from creator downward into creation. A lot of people have a problem with the word predestination. Don't be scared of that word. It's a Bible word. It's a good word. It's not a bad word. It means God has a predetermined end. He's got a plan, and his plan is yes and amen. And all of God's people will experience his predetermined plan, his predetermined grace, his predetermined mercy, his predetermined work. There is a work to be done, although God has a predetermined plan. Ephesians 2:10 says very clearly, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has ordained from the foundations of the world. God has a predetermined end, and you and I that are part of his family, part of his people, we have a role to play in bringing God's plan into fruition. Hear me this morning. What does the Bible say about not knowing the plan? My people perish for lack of what? Vision. They don't know God's plan. They're meandering around and they perish. We must know God's plan this morning. This is the path forward. I formed you. You are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. Though your sins are red as scarlet, right? I will make them white as snow. This is the God that we serve. Last year, bad year for you, God. Listen to him speak. I have not forgotten you. I don't know what that does for you, but it raises up hope and faith in my heart. He's a God who loves. He's a God who's not forgotten. He's a God who has a purpose for every trial we have come through, bringing us to this moment. I have, look at verse 22. I have blotted out your transgressions. Sins you commit. Transgression is an awesome word. It is when God creates a boundary for us. When we step outside of those bounds, we transgress against his. We transgress against his law. We transgress against his way, his plan, his path. But God says, I have blotted out your transgressions. Look at this imagery. Like a cloud, and your sins like mist. I was able to go, many of you know, to Ecuador 2 months ago. I don't even remember. A little while ago, I was able to go to Ecuador. At one point, many of you who have been, lots of you in this church have. It's high. The elevation is ridiculous there. I mean, you get off the plane, you're at like 9,000 feet elevation at the airport. Then as you travel through the country, man, it's the Andes Mountain. It's a huge mountain range. It's not like the Appalachians if you've been to Gatlinburg. It's different, much bigger. I love Gatlinburg, but it's not like that. You can't see the tops of the mountains a lot of times there. One as we're driving, it's about a 3.5-hour drive from the airport to Riobamba, where we do a lot of work in an orphanage there and where I was able to do some teaching in a seminary. And at one point, as we're driving in the car, we drive through a cloud, okay? We drove through a cloud. That's how high this place is. So the driver stops because I'm thrilled. I got pictures of it on Facebook. Because Facebook, woo! So we get out, we stop, and I get out and I stand. And I got my arms open like this. And do you know what? We're standing in a cloud. And do you know what I see? Nothing. I see nothing. I see white everywhere I look. It was awesome. This is what God says. This is the imagery that he uses. I blot out your transgressions like a cloud. God says, I don't see them. They're gone from me. In one place, he says, I remember them no more. I blot out your transgressions. Some of you, when you take a shower, you just want to stay in there because your sins plague you. There's a dirtiness inside of you. Hear God say, I have not forgotten you. I will blot out. I will remove your transgressions like a cloud. I don't see them. The reason you suffer under the consequences of your past sins is because you keep bringing them up yourself. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. Praise God. If that's not enough, we haven't even gotten to where we're going. But if that's not enough to get you to shout and sing, you don't have a heart. You're the Grinch. Two sizes too small. And honestly, that's what the Holy Spirit does. It makes our hearts two sizes too big. That was a dumb illustration. Thanks, though, Doug. I appreciate your grace. It does kind of work that way, doesn't it? Where am I? I formed you, you're my servant. I blot out your church like a cloud, your sins like mist. Return to me. Return to me. See, it's easy to go back to dad. You remember when you were a kid? Maybe your dad had an office, and maybe it was a bit intimidating, and maybe he had a desk, and he sat beside, and there were huge bookshelves, and maybe it was just an intimidating picture to you, or maybe your dad was just mean. Maybe he was an alcoholic. Maybe he beat you. Whatever. Do you remember when you were in trouble? Everybody can identify with this at some level. When you got in trouble, I'll never forget one time. This is funny. We've got time for this. We're at my grandparents' house in Florida, sweltering. It's like 99 degrees outside with the heat in. You know, it feels like it's 175. You walk outside, you're instantly, it looks like you've taken a shower. So we're in Florida, and my dad, you know, me and my sister, I was probably about 10. My sister is about 5.5. And so we go outside to play, and dad sees the hose laying in the yard. And he looks at me and he says, don't play in the water. Right? Because he knows what a 10-year-old thing. Hose, I'm going to squirt my sister. It's just the way 10-year-olds think. He's don't touch the hose. Don't play in the water. So my brilliant 10-year-old mind concocts this plan. They're sitting in the living room. There's this big window where they're all sitting talking. We'll run past the window a few times to make dad think we're running and we're playing really hard. So we run past the window. We don't even run all the way around the house. We duck down, go back around, run past the window again. I mean, I had it all figured out. I was brilliant when I was 10. So we ran past the window, and then we got the hose out, and I'm spraying my sister, and I'm spraying myself. absolutely completely drenched. It looks like I had just jumped into a swimming pool with my clothes on, right? I mean, dripping off the ears, the whole nine yards. Dad comes out, and he looks at me. And I just remember looking up at him going, boy, we ran around the house a lot of times. Right? Like, I'm so smart, you're totally going to buy that. Obviously, I got beat within an inch of my life because Dad said not to do that. But the point is, sometimes when we do wrong, we don't want to see Dad. We don't want to get near Dad. When Adam and Eve sin in the garden and God returns, what are they doing? They're hiding. They're in the bushes. God calls out, Adam, where are you? Because sin makes us want to hide from God. So God makes the first step forward. He says, I blot out your transgressions. I don't see your sin in Christ Jesus. We know that even though forgiveness is evident here, it's all through and focused upon the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, even in the Old Testament. Old Testament people were saved by faith in the coming work that God would do in Christ Jesus. We on this side of history look back at the event that happened in history where God became flesh and died in our place for our sin. And in faith, we believe. It works on both sides of history, culminating in the person and work of Jesus Christ. God clears the runway. God clears every barrier and roadblock in front of us. And he says, return. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to hide. Return to me. I have redeemed you. Would you believe with me this morning? You know, Romans chapter 14, the last verse says, everything that does not proceed from faith is sin. Without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you cannot appropriate any of the things, any of the truth the Scripture is pouring out upon you this morning. What I want desperately for every person in this room to know, to understand, to believe deeply upon, is that we are a redeemed people. We are a saved people. We are, despite the sins from 2014, we are a clean people by faith in the redemption that God has given us freely. We are clean. This is a new year, and we are a clean people marching forth into this new season. Will you believe that with me? You understand what God can do through a people who believe that? It's the first step in the path forward. And without this truth, without securing this by faith deep within you, you can't have the year in 2015 that we need to have as a church and that we need to have as individuals. Let your faith rise up this morning. When you read the book of 1 Corinthians, the entire book is beginning talking about how immature people think and what immature people in Christ do. They're still Christians, but they're immature. Towards the end of the book, as Paul goes through all the issues, you remember the eating and drinking issues in 9 and 10, and the sexual sin issues in 5, and the people suing one another, and people getting drunk off the communion wine, and people not sharing and thinking about what all the issues Paul goes through. Then it culminates in 13 with love and growing up and becoming mature in Christ Jesus. This is what that looks like. This is how that begins. You believing that God's word is true and that you are a son. You are a daughter of God, clean and redeemed, ready to move forward into the plans that God has. Amen? Oh, believe that with me. I'm not going to read the rest of this, but it's awesome because it shows that even though it doesn't in this world, because Persia is going to come along, even though it hasn't happened yet. This is prophecy. Persia is going to come along and defeat Babylon. And then he says, I'm going to raise up a guy named Cyrus out of Persia, and he's going to show you my redemption is true. And that's exactly what happened in history. What God promises is yes and amen. What I'm telling you this morning is yes and amen. Believe. Believe the word of the Lord. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Turn with me to let me read just a couple more verses. When we believe this, what happens? Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Are we jumping up and down going, I believed, I appropriated, yay me. Sing to the Lord. He has done this. He has brought us to a place of belief. He has brought us to a place of appropriating what he has done. He has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel. He will be glorified in his people. What remains to be seen in the future of this church is if we're his people or not. Because if we are, he will be glorified. Turn with me quickly to Proverbs chapter 7. The path forward begins with this truth. Believe you are who God says you are. Do you remember in Ephesians when we studied Ephesians? Chapter 2 and chapter 3 talks about how Jesus Christ has defeated all of his enemies, and he's been seated on high beside the Father, and all power and all authority has been given to him. And do you remember what that next chapter talked about? It talked about those of us, Christians, who appropriate by faith the work of Christ. We believe that God has redeemed us in Jesus Christ. It says we are seated with him. As all power and authority have been given to him, so all power and authority has been given to us in his name. Know who you are, Christian man, Christian woman. Know his mercies are new every morning. You know what I keep hearing from Christians that drive me crazy? Let me tell you. For a couple years now, I have been hearing this garbage from the, wouldn't you know it, it doesn't come from the Bible. Comes from smart PhDs and secular scientists, and they say when we do things, we create paths in the brain and we create addictions for ourselves. I had a guy sit in my office a couple years ago, and I kept telling him he had a pornographic addiction, and I kept telling him, you can leave this office and not look at porn again. That is a reality in Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. It can be done. And he kept telling me, no, you don't understand. I've read books and pornography changes the way my brain works and the way my brain thinks. And it creates these new paths. And once your brain gets this way, there's nothing you can do. You're kind of stuck. So it's not a matter of quitting. It's just a matter of how you can maintain the addiction. You ever heard anything like that? Usually it's people who want to sin really bad that give you garbage like that. But there is science out there that they draw from to bring that about. Well, I've been studying a secular neurologist named Dr. Carolyn Leaf here as of late. You know what she says, and she has proven through the science of the brain and researching the brain for more than 30 years. When the Bible says she's also a Christian, when the Bible says his mercies are new every morning, did you know that your brain every morning, some of you are caught in patterns of toxic thought, you're caught in patterns of condemnation thinking, or you're just beating yourself down, you can't do anything for God, and God probably doesn't even love you, and you're probably not even a Christian. Did you know that your brain secretes enzymes every morning that can completely rewire it? Did you know that even after a lifetime of damage to your brain and to its thought structures and to the branches it creates that are memories, an entire lifetime of damage can be completely reworked in 5 days? That's from a secular neurologist who happens to be a Christian. So secular Christian, secular science from a Christian to you this morning. There is no, these excuses have to stop. Anytime you tell yourself it's okay, you're not appropriating by faith the new life, the abundant life Jesus says you can have in 2015. Somebody appropriate with me this morning. Because God's got a plan for us. And we're going forward. And if you get in the way, we're going to run right over you. In Jesus' name, we love you. Real quick, here. Without vision, my people perish. So here's step one. Believe, appropriate the redemption that God has purchased for you. This year, right now, today, we get up from this place, we walk out brand new, clean slate, white as snow. Nothing holding you back. Nothing holding you back. But there's a path we've got to walk. We've got to know the path. And I've got to hurry. I want to read Proverbs 7 real quick, because Proverbs is not a book that we're able to get into a whole lot either, because we're going through books chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Proverbs chapter 7, Solomon, speaking to his sons, wants to give them some wisdom. And here is the wisdom that he gives. My son, keep my words. Treasure up my commandments with you. Now, this is Solomon speaking to his sons, but 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for us. So, yes, this is Solomon speaking to his sons, but it's also God speaking to us. Hear my words, treasure my commands. That also is repeated all through scripture. Read Psalm 119. Keep my commandments and live, verse 2. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. What's the way forward? God doesn't leave us blind, deaf, and dumb. He shows us the way forward. We just have to dig in to see it. He's laid out his plan for us, his predetermined end. The whole thing's right here. Those with vision follow the commands, love the commands, absorb the commands, and keep them. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. Any kind of seduction that you're going to find in the word comes through smooth words and flattery. Watch this. Here's how it happens. Here's how you can leave this place this morning after hearing God's word, starting out with a clean slate. Here's how you can go out and wreck yourself again. Here's how this year can be just like last year. Do you want to know how that can happen? Listen. For at the window of my house, I have looked out through my lattice. So you've got a king, the wisest man who had ever lived at this time, looking out through the lattice of his window. And here's what he sees. I have seen among the simple. I have perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense. So here's what he sees. And youth and all of this goes together to create someone who doesn't really know what they're doing. It's what all these images, all these terms is youth, simple, lacking sense. He sees a young man who doesn't know where he's going. In my Bible, I have to turn the page. If you have the Elect Standard Version, you will have to turn the page as well. Nothing? That was a good joke. Watch. Verse 8. Passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night, and at the time of darkness. We see a young man, a foolish man, a simple man, walking along at the wrong time of day, just meandering along, la-da-da-da-da. Little does he know, he's walking right past her house. He's walking on the street where at the corner she lives. When you don't know who you are and you don't know where you're going, you end up in the wrong place. And you know what happens when you're at the wrong place? You get seduced by whatever meets you along the way. May it not be true for you this morning. May it not be true for any man or any woman in this house. May we know the word of our God. May we hold it tight. May we keep his commandments tight. May we stay on his path, his straight and his narrow path, so we don't end up somewhere out there being seduced back into the world, back into idolatrous living, back into trusting in something other than the redemption of Jesus Christ. Everything else will disappoint you. I was going to read 7 and 8. I'm not going to anymore. I'm just going to leave it there. Without vision, my people perish. You've got to know who you are and where you're going. And this morning, as you appropriate by faith the new life, Christ Jesus, the cleansing from your sins, the redemption that he has done for you, let us leave this place. And if you're on the wrong path, some of you know it. You know you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. That was nice. A little music there. Build the mood. Hear the word of the Lord. Everybody ends up somewhere. Some of us end up there on purpose. As God's people, we know who our God is. We know who he's made us, and we know where we're going because he lays it out in his word. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. You're not going to end up in the wrong place at the wrong time if you're on the path that God has ordained from the foundations of the world for you to walk. What confidence, what assurance we can have if we'll just stay on the path. Everybody who steps into my office that sin is wrecking, you can trace it every time. You can trace it back to someone straying off the path. It is my deepest concern and desire and hope to build the path that God has laid out for you individually, for your family, and for us together as a church, to build it through God's word into your heart, into your mind, where God says you should be thinking about these things. Some of you are wrapped up in fears and worries. Read Matthew 6. Jesus, why would you worry? Does God not feed the birds? Have they ever gone hungry? Paul says, think on things that are good, pure, of good report, honorable, worthy. God's words, these things. It's a new year. You have every ability to walk out these doors thinking new thoughts, being renewed day by day in your mind, taking every thought captive unto Christ Jesus, living a life on the path that God has for you. You have every right to it as a son of God, as a daughter of God in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you the truth. Here's how I want to help. I'm going to pitch some stuff to you now. We had decided a little early. You know, every January we usually do a corporate fast. We usually do Bible reading plans. We usually do a lot of that stuff. But honestly, I just don't know. I mean, I know some people are doing it with us because they talk about it with us, but I think it's a very small percentage. So what I wanted to do this year, to start off the new year right, to get us into God's word so we can see God's vision for us, so we can see the path clearly ahead of us, I created something as easy as I can create. You're not going to find this online. This is something that we have designed and put together. It is my hope and desire for each person in this room that you will commit by faith with me this morning to read the entire New Testament in the next 90 days. Now here's what that means, and here's how this is laid out. This does not include weekends. So it's going to go from tomorrow, January 5th, to May 8th. Monday through Friday, about 3 chapters a day, and we can read the entire New Testament, the whole counsel of God in His New Testament in Christ Jesus. We can have put within our hearts, we can have put in our minds, we can be meditating on together. I've talked to some young people, I'm not really sure how all this works, but we're going to have a hashtag. Hashtag awesome. I have been told by young people not to post something every day because that just gets on people's nerves and they will block you. So once a week, every Monday, I'm going to write something little on Facebook, and it's going to be context for what you're going to be reading that week. I want to do everything I can. I can't lay it out any simpler than this for you. You've got to, by the power of God's Spirit, get God's Word into you. And some of you, you do well, but some of you, you know you need help. We're trying to help. I want you to be the man God has called you to be. I want you to be the woman God has called you to be. Commit yourself to His path, to the light of His Word, to the illumination of His path for you. Because if you don't know where you're going, you're going to end up someplace you don't want to be. It's every day, so simple, so laid out. And listen how I've broken it up. I've never seen this done. I think it's awesome. We're going to begin in Matthew, and we're going to read all the books in the New Testament in sequence written to the Jewish people. We're going to read Matthew, which is written to Jews. We're going to read James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Hebrews, all these written to the Jewish population. It's just great context for you in your reading. You're going to be able to hopefully better understand as I guide once a week along the way. Then we're going to start with Mark, and we're going to read all the books that were written to the Roman population. Now, these are both Jews and Gentiles, but they're Romans first. Then we're going to read Luke, on through most of Paul's epistles, reading all of the works written to the Gentiles. That's us, people not of Jewish descent. These are books written specifically to us, and then we're going to end with the universal books written by John, the beloved disciple. We're going to read the Gospel of John. We're going to read Revelation, and then we're going to end with 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I absolutely love this plan. I believe it's an inspired plan given to us by God through the power of His Spirit to teach us His ways, to teach us His Word, to teach us His path, so by faith we can stay on His path individually. For your families, come on, remember Nehemiah, men. Honor the Lord. Fight for your families. What better way than to know the path that God has set His people upon? And for our church corporately, as we move into gospel change and transformation. Hashtag NTN90. These plans we've printed out. There's enough for everybody here who wants to participate. It's got a checkoff sheet. Pick them up at the back if you don't already have one. Also, they're already on the website as a download. And we're going to be sending out an email later today, also with a download in case you lose yours. You can always have a place you know you can get it so you can stay online. And we left the weekends open for this one reason. Because I know life gets busy. I know stuff happens that you weren't planning on or expected. And sometimes the time you craft it out to read, you just miss it. Well, now you got the weekends to catch up in case you miss any days during the week. This is the easiest I can make it for you to give you help as a pastor, which I want to do. This is the easiest I can do. Commit to this with me. And also, I want to push a book on you. What happened to the music? Now it just sounds, oh, this is a book. It's not the Bible. Turn the music off. Service is over. Go home. Thank you, John. There's actually two. I got both these books for Christmas. I read them. I read them quick. This is about a 2-hour read. This is about a 4-hour read. Don't buy this one. Just get this one. Now, some of you are going, Dave Ramsey, what the? Brent, when you usually give us books, it's by some dead reformer. Okay? I know this is pop, Christian culture, whatever you want to call Dave Ramsey. Listen to me. Okay, I'm a guy who's read the Reformers. I'm a guy who's read the early church fathers. I know my Bible fairly well. Just trust me on this, some of you, okay? Just trust me. And this may take longer than 4 hours for some of you, but it is a simple book. It is an easy to read book. It's called The Legacy Journey. Especially dads, come on, or if you're the head of your home, you gotta get this. This book talks about God's path. This book talks about legacy for not only God's people, but for our individual families. You have to know where you're going to get there. That's the point of this book. And it talks about work ethic. This is going to politically. This is going to challenge some of you. This is not just a money book about building wealth. I know Dave Ramsey is known for that. This is a lot more. And here's my commitment to you. You can get this on Amazon for probably $15. I encourage each one of you to get this. If you, listen. If you would say, I don't have $15 to get a book, Brent, you need this book more than anybody else in the room, number one. Number two, you come see me after, I will buy this book for you. That's how strongly I want to urge you to read this. Now, if you got to choose one, okay? You got to choose one. This is the one. That's a good book, too. And listen. Come on, I know it's funny. But this is serious. I believe Jesus Christ secured on Calvary's tree hope and abundant life for you, the believer in his name. I want you to, that doesn't mean bed of roses, that doesn't mean easy life, but that does mean abundant life. That does mean a hope beyond hope. That does mean a peace beyond peace. And it's for you. And I want you to have it so bad, I wish I could shove it and cram it into you, but I can't. You have to make a choice. What better time to make a choice than the first Sunday of a new year? To believe what God says about who he is and about who he makes you. To believe that you're walking out of here white as snow with a clean slate. And tomorrow you're going to start, you're going to open this word, and we're going to have the entire New Testament read in 90 days, filling ourselves with the end goal and the straight and narrow path that he has for us to walk so we can get there. And all this is going to build upon the gospel change and transformation and the gospel courage we're going to be talking about the next 4 weeks. I love you. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, God, I know what you're doing in me. I know what you're doing in my family, and it's good. It's good. God, I wish that human words could force people to change and to take action, but they cannot. Only your spirit. Only your spirit through the foolishness of preaching can change hearts and change lives and put a fire in your people that brings revival. God, I pray that you do it. I pray we'd see it. I pray we would taste it. I pray our children would experience it. Do your work. It is in you we trust. It is in you we hope. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I love you guys. Have a great week.